Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me on this episode is Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
It feels so odd to be recording a Sunday episode and not be live on our YouTube.
It is weird because it's been a hot minute since that has happened.
It's been a hot minute since we've done it like this. But we're dropping this episode on Father's Day, which is also my boy child's birthday, which I was once again reminded today that I am cringe and therefore I'm not invited to birthday festivities.
Oh.
Did Christopher actually say that you were cringe?
Sydney did.
Oh.
Because tomorrow, when we're recording this Wednesday night, tomorrow is Sid's 21st birthday. And I'm not invited to go out.
Not even to dinner. Drink while I'm there?
I don't know. The thing is
she can drink my drinks.
Mike and I have been trying to give her drinks for years, like the last 3 years. We're like, take a drink of this, and she's just like, yuck.
Tell Sid that she has to be my designated drinker.
I will tell her that.
since I don't want to attempt that right now, so.
No, probably not the smartest thing. Amanda, just watch your mailbox because Leah and I have gone like a little swag purchasing crazy lately.
Oh.
All sorts of new stickers and bookmarks.
I don't know if that's a we there.
I might be responsible for the stickers, but you did tarot cards and bookmarks.
I was going to say, yeah.
That's true, I did.
That was not me.
I'm ready.
And I approved the stickers, so I guess I am part of the problem.
And we're bringing back the coloring sheet, so make sure you're participating.
Oh, there's a really good sticker that we did today.
Yeah. But make sure you are participating in Summer Reading Challenge because everybody who's part of Summer Reading Challenge will be getting one of these sticker packs from us. So they're pretty cool.
There's some good stuff in there.
So this is episode 301. We are starting our next year, our next season. And so I thought on today's episode, we're going to put down the trope list. And we're going to step into the wider world of Romancelandia. There's been a lot happening lately, from debates about happily ever after to trademark drama to book-to-screen adaptations and the continuing rise of romanticy and some guesses of what we think are going to be next trends, which we kind of did in our episode where we talked about like books we're anticipating and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We kind of talked about what we think the next trend is, but I figured, why not? We'll throw it into this episode and see how it goes. Also, if you want to kind of stay up to date on opinions as we see bigger things happening and blowing up, Amanda and I tend to put our, me more than Amanda, but Amanda's gotten into it, putting our hot takes up over on Substack. So you can always go over to Substack and see what kinds of things are on our mind. Sometimes it's a lot.
Clearly, yeah. I have nothing on mine.
You're just here for the beauty, Leah.
Honestly, like I think of stuff and then I get distracted and then I forget. So
the ADHD is real with that one.
Supposedly, I don't have it though.
Oh, did you come back negative?
Oh.
I came back cognitively, like off the charts, but I do not have ADHD according to the testy person.
I find that shocking.
Not ADHD, but diabetes.
If you can't have one, you should have the other.
Yeah, so my life is just lots of tests right now, so.
Lots of chaos. So one of the ones, it was a little bit over a week ago, a Big Five publisher made a little bit of a faux pas.
I think it was on purpose.
Yeah.
I think it was on purpose. I think it was rage baiting. I also believe that, so after it was taken down, they put an apology that it was supposed to be not looking at you romance. So we're talking about Simon and Schuster
an intern
posting to their socials that not every book needs a happily ever after. In parentheses was the statement, we're looking at you romance, like romance doesn't need an HEA or however it was worded.
Yeah.
Some
people lost their minds.
I did.
I did too. Other people were like, oh, okay. It's like, you were wrong. And you were stupid.
So And I think that Amanda and I think you and I talked about this a little bit. One of the thing, the reason that this bothered me so much is because this is a publisher.
Yeah.
And them saying that gives permission to every other person with an opinion about romance to come on and say what they want to say.
Well, and it also emboldens those people who are marketing their books as romance when they're not romance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they don't have an HEA.
Well, that's the thing. Like, any women's fiction book or genre fiction book that doesn't, like, not, I mean, they can have HEA adjacent type things, but the story is not based on the romance. And they're like, well, this could be a romance now.
But we have Nicholas Sparks. He's categorized in romance. Colleen Hoover and all her books are categorized in romance, even though they really
aren't. Is he still categorized as romance?
Well, he's, I mean, it's not him doing it because he's
it's his publisher.
Multiple times. It's like, he's like, I don't write romance, but yeah, that's, it falls under categories.
He does not.
Categories.
Yeah, the categories it falls into is romance. And it's interesting because you just interviewed Edward Schmidt for his book, and you were very clear in that interview to say that this was a genre fiction, a queer a queer love story.
Yeah, which it's a fantastic book.
It is.
Very well done for a debut. Yep. He really got like the meat of the characters, and it is singular point of view, but like as you read the book, like it makes sense, which also is why I say it's more genre fiction because of the way the story plays out.
But people were talking about that today on Threads about
But yeah, I mean, they totally marketed it.
Because that is how they marketed it.
Because
because he even said like he didn't, he did the happily for now like purposefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's really about Austin. I mean, the book is about Austin. I mean, there is there is an undercurrent of a romance.
There's
happening
an
there,
interest
but,
there, yes.
Yeah,
and I
but
don't.
It's,
but the same conversation doesn't come up about Emily Henry's book, or even Abby Jimenez. Now, I will say, as Abby Jimenez has wrote more and more, they have gone farther into romance. But if you look at her early books, they end in that happily for now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel solid. Now,
well, it doesn't feel complete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
like that couple is going to either break up or be divorced in 6 months,
which leads, you know, I know there was a trend a while ago there on TikTok where people were taking books and like couples I don't think will be together or couples I think will get divorced in my romances and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what? I can see some of that, particularly if a book ends in a happily for now.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Rachel a little bit, and she brought up Van 2 by Sawyer Bennett because she took a couple that you felt was very solid in The Cold Fury, brought them forward and gave them an additional story where it was a marriage in crisis.
Yeah.
And that made a lot of people ragey.
Well, Elise did that in her Gold series, too, with the very first book. Couple, she did that, which, but so it makes people ragey, but at the same time, like, I don't mind it so much because when you are in a relationship that long, it is not unheard of to hit that like period where like you don't know what's going to happen, especially when big things like that are happening, like when big emotional, like medical, like big traumas are happening. Like, you don't always survive those.
You don't. And I will say, Elise is not a big epilogue person, and neither is Sawyer. So I think that their books do tend to be happily for now, and you learn about the ever after in the, you know,
as the series progresses.
So I didn't have a huge problem with it, but I understand why people do, right? Because you go into romance, and when you shut that book, you believe that that couple is together forever.
Yeah.
Okay. So the HEA debate. I just
romance needs an HEA.
Romance
There's not
needs
a debate.
An HEA.
There's no debate. It needs an HEA.
It is the debate that never dies, though, because
it's
cyclical.
Yeah. It recycles every 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Just know, if you think that is okay, you are wrong.
You're wrong. okay, so a conversation that was up on Threads today, and this is something I addressed months ago in Substack, about the number of ARCs going out. Peyton Corinne shared that she had more ARC requests for her book Undone than she had pre-orders.
That seems...
So the publisher gave out more ARCs than she had pre-orders.
No, did they give out more ARCs or was it just the request
It
number?
Was the request, but also the ensuing
so they
ARCs.
Gave... Did they say yes to every request? Like, that's
pretty
ridiculous.
Pretty much.
Why would they do that?
Well, was it also, did it go read now?
It went read now.
There you go.
It went read now.
And they announced it went read now, yes. Too,
but
I bet.
Talking to some indie authors, like, I had something that came into my inbox for something else, and I had to say no, and the author was like, well, just so you know, I decided to indie publish this, and I already have 1,200 ARC signups, so this book's going to go great.
Then what do you need me for?
Why are you giving away 1,200 books on your debut book?
That's so many.
That's...
When I first started ARC reading, it was very selective.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people were giving away, and I think Adriana Locke said something on Threads like this, that she used to give 25 copies away.
Yeah.
And that
was it. Which is a very small amount.
Yeah. Like in the day when she started, it was 25 copies.
Yeah.
And she had some of her most successful releases. And people, and I get this when we are DMing influencers for ARC reads for some of our clients and stuff, they have so many ARCs, they don't even get time to read for themselves anymore.
Yeah.
And one girl and I were talking and she said that she actually canceled her Kindle Unlimited because every book she wanted to read, she was getting an ARC of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that people don't deserve ARCs. That is not what this conversation is. This is on the author side. If you're giving away 1,000 ARCs.
Think of how much money
you're
losing.
That's 1,000 less people that are going to go and read your book. Now, there are people who have come back and said that if I get an ARC and I really love it, I'll pre-order the book.
Mm-hmm.
Or I go through and I'll do page flips for the book. Who has time for that?
I will do it if it's in KU.
Will you do it if it's in KU?
Yeah, I do.
I do it for our clients.
I do it for our clients too.
But I don't, honestly, I don't get that many ARCs for things that are in KU.
Well, so, and also realistically speaking, since we are in NetGalley, like no land, we have not really taken as many ARCs. I mean, maybe not you. I mean, I have a lot, but because of this author spotlights. And then once I get in there, it's like a black hole that I can't get out of. But I have been better.
Well, and a couple authors, you know, brought up like you give out 1,000 ARCs, but you only are expecting a 25% return.
Yeah.
And I saw someone else say that they had handed out 500 ARCs and by the end of their first release week, they only had 37 reviews.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that is the big thing. Like it's a very saturated market and people are taking every ARC they possibly can. And then they're overrun and like you have three books that you requested an ARC for that are all coming out on the same day. And like, you've been doing this for like 3 months. And so you're like really behind. And it's like, like, first off, like stop asking for so many ARCs. And second off, like if you're not going to review that book, then you should not request that ARC.
Right.
Yeah. Because- I don't ask for them if I'm not going to review them. Like that's, I mean, I understand getting behind and whatever,
but that happens. And I am behind 100% of the time.
I will say, though, as media, I will request ARCs because I'm looking for what's the next trend. Is this a book we should be having on our radar to talk about?
But you and us are in a very different scenario than most ARC readers.
This
most
true.
ARC readers are there for the ARC. Like, they're not trying to learn the trends. They're not trying to find like a new client for agency. Like there's a whole different like mindset and subset to the way we read an ARC versus the way other people get ARCs and read ARCs. So, and I think that's where the differential is. Cause like I will request books that like I will read them and then I just let them fester because they were horrible. But I like the publicist reached out and was like, would you consider this for like
a feature or whatever.
a coverage. And it's like, I will look at it and then I'm leave them in the dead letter office
And
because.
there was another author who made the comment that they don't like NetGalley because they think that their publisher gives away too many books on NetGalley, and it used to be more ex NetGalley used to be as exclusive as like Edelweiss was. Like it was hard to get a book from them. And now it feels like everyone gets a book that they request it. And I think the other thing we have to remember is, especially like with Peyton Corinne, and she's saying she had more NetGalley requests and stuff like that, you are in that lump sum, not just including influencers, but you're including librarians, publishing professionals, media, and
Yeah, because
booksellers.
NetGalley is a like a very different like
Animal.
scenario.
Yeah, so you can't, it's, yes, it can be used as a promo tour tool, but it's not the same as hiring, company A to find you influencers and sending out ARCs.
Well, and like if you're an indie author going on NetGalley, like it's not as easy as it is just going through like a promo company. Like there's like a whole process that goes through that. Like, cause NetGalley, like they don't just take,
So
like there has to
NetGalley
be.
doesn't make any of the decisions. So I've helped a couple of our authors who have used the Victory Co-op for their books. And they're given a login and they go in and approve who gets the books, who
But I'm
doesn't.
saying like, but getting your book to NetGalley is not as simple as just going in and uploading it. Like you have to have a connection. Like
Well, you
it
either have
has.
to, yeah, you have to use a company or a publicist that has space on NetGalley. Or you have to find a co-op that you fit into that you can put it up to, because without a co-op, so the Victory Editing Company is $80 a month. If you don't have a co-op and you're just putting it up willy-nilly yourself, $1,075 a month. Yeah. Because we actually looked into it. Like
Yeah, we did.
we looked into like if we
I
buy a
remember. I couldn't
co-op.
remember the number.
It was wild. I was like, none of us have that kind of money.
No.
Okay. So there was that ARCs. I did write the Substack about it because I do think that.
Well, and but I feel like ARCs is a conversation that always circles back to. It's like you get the
Every
grouping of
one of
like
them.
I never like it's always something like why didn't I get approved? And like there's the PR companies who like you've gotten approved for like four ARCs and all of a sudden they like blacklist you. And it's just it's always
Well,
a
and that's part of the
conversation.
problem too with ARCs and the tour companies. Some of these tour companies kind of have some bad reputations for
Well,
not
some of them
being,
have their favorites that always get approved for everything.
that are not kind necessarily to influencers that have been loyal to the authors, but don't have the following they think you should have. I mean, we saw earlier this year the one reader who crashed out over not getting the Katherine Cowles ARC box because she didn't have 20,000 followers and she had gotten every other Katherine Cowell box previously and she crashed out. And sold off all of her Katherine Cowell stuff. I mean, good for her, get your bag. I don't know. I have never felt that an author owes me
Well,
anything.
my thing is like you're crashing out over a free box with a book in it.
Well, and I was. That was the other thing. I was talking to an author recently and they asked about my thoughts on PR boxes. Like, where do I think this is going? And I told them, I said, I'm going to be really honest. I think they're dying out. One, the economy. It's so expensive. Shipping is getting so expensive. I did a campaign late last year for, maybe it was early this year. For Claudia, we did a box with swag and everything like that. And it was like $12 to ship every box. It had a book, a keychain, stickers, a vellum, a hair scrunchie, a bookmark, a pen, and a pad of paper. And so I think we figured, not retail, but just her cost, $27 plus another 12 to
Shipping.
ship it per box. It's,
And if you're shipping like 100 boxes,
yeah. Well,
that's a
yeah,
lot of money.
it is a lot of money. But okay, so here's the other thing. And Amanda, I know that you are the queen of book boxes when it comes to ordering them yourself.
Not a lot. I don't do as much
Not
anymore.
as
But
much anymore.
you have canceled a lot.
Yeah, I still have some that I'm not gonna get rid of for reasons.
The swag is getting overwhelming. Like, what am I supposed to do with all this stuff? Like, I
Yeah.
have 7 years of stickers, bookmarks, mugs, scrunchies, pens, this thing, that thing. And I've like cleaned out a lot. Like, I gave a lot away, different places, but there's still so
It's so
much
much. I mean, in the
stuff.
stuff, some of the stuff I have is not even from boxes. Like the boxes that I still keep, they don't really do swag. Like I
See,
have
I.
Arcane and they do a pin. That's you get like a pin with the box that has something like
Yeah.
a pin on your shirt kind of thing. But like I think that's the only thing that I get any more swag related in a box.
I have noticed that some of the subscription boxes, they are doing the book and the book only.
Well, and we got the Danielle Allen books from
Eternal Embers.
Internal Embers,
Oh,
and
yeah.
it was the books in a case with a wrap,
Yeah,
and I
they
think there were some
usually only do the
stickers.
book cover to cover. Well, there was like one sticker in each book,
Book, yeah.
but it was just like it was a sticker of the cover art from
Paperback.
yeah.
No.
No, it was from the thingamajiggy,
The wrap, the jacket.
the dust jacket. Sorry, I was not getting that word.
I don't know.
But
They're on my shelf. I don't know.
cover to cover is the same way. Like I've got
Yeah.
the Melanie Moreland and the Brynn and the Layla, and you get the book, and that is all.
Which is great.
They used to do swag when they first started and then they stopped.
But
So,
honestly, but they still have a wait list. Like, so people do not care about the swag. They want those fancy books
The
and they
swag's
do their fancy
overwhelming. I
baseball.
saw that Hello Lovely is re
Oh,
oh yeah.
they're still
They're
around.
rejuvenating
Yeah, they're gonna do like Book of the Month
type
again.
stuff. Yeah,
Yeah.
like there was their special Hello Lovely covers and stuff. And they were ones that had swag that was just never made sense.
But they also were ones that like the books didn't match, and like they always had a lot of issues.
Well, we aren't going to talk about that because there was a bookstore that lost their shit over one of their boxes.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. So I think this, I don't think authors, one, the swag is expensive. And stickers in a vellum are fine because you can put them in the book.
Yeah.
Or, a sticker, you don't feel guilty if you toss it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
Yeah.
just okay. Versus, like, if they sent you, like, a mug and a hair scrunchie and a puzzle.
I mean, I don't dislike a hair scrunchie just because I have long hair, but like a lot of people don't use scrunchies.
Yeah, I mean, I have regular length hair. I mean, it's shorter, so I don't need one.
Yeah.
Okay. Something else on Threads today. It was a busy day over on Threads today.
It's a busy day every day
It
over
is a
on
busy day
Threads.
every day over there. An agent took to Threads today saying she was watching an author's release, but decided not to contact them because it looked like they had sold their audio. She was telling authors not to sell their audio if you want a distribution deal. And just to recap for those that are listening, the distro deals are where traditional publishing comes in and basically buys the paperback and the right to publish the paperback on the author's behalf. These are lucrative deals. This is what M Bloom does. Kensington has done this too.
Really, all of them have done
A
it at
lot of
this
publishers are
point.
getting away from it, just because there's not as much money. They'll still pick up the whole series, but they want the whole series.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, and I know this from being agency and talking to editors and contracts and stuff, they want to, they're going for these books that are selling and popular with authors that have really good, solid followings and engagement. But they would like to have two of the three major rights. And that's how they can justify buying an already in progress series. It's how they can justify a larger advance. And so typically they'll want the paperback and the audio, which is fine if you're an author that's not doing audio, right? Like if you're going to sell your audio to Podium anyway, like you can have my paperbacks and my audio. That's fine. And several authors took to those comments saying, you know, this is wrong. People should have the right to earn their own money. If they get offered from Podium or Blackstone, get it. You know, they need that money. And then they get audio made and they don't have to put that money out themselves. And then there were the other audio, there were the other authors who are successful authors that produce their own audio. And they're like, you know, I'm not willing to give up half my royalties just so you can have my paperbacks. Like, that makes no sense for me. And it's a double-edged sword. Over the course of the last 6 months, we've seen a ton of new audio-only labels. It used to be Tantor, Recorded Books, Dreamscape, Blackstone, Audible, and Podium. But recently, Simon Maverick has come on the scene where they're buying indies rights for audio. And then Sourcebooks just launched their own audio imprint. And there are rumors that Macmillan and Penguin Random House are on the verge of doing that also.
I'm not surprised. I'm actually surprised they haven't done it already.
Well, and it's interesting because you have a place like Pages and Vine where, like, Tyler published her book with Pages and Vine, Recorded Books produced the audio. You know, most authors cannot afford to do their own audio. It's
No,
expensive.
especially for quality audio. Like, it's expensive. Well, I mean, there has been some really shitty audios that have come
Was
out
gonna
recently
say.
on the bigger companies, but you would think that if you're paying the money that you're going to get quality. But like, you have to pay the narrators, you have to like find a producer, you have to like do all that stuff. Like, it's not easy to just, you don't just snap your fingers and you have an audiobook. Like, there's a process to it.
Well, oh, Spotify also is another one that's starting to buy audio rights and produce audio rights. The other problem that's coming up with audio is one, the more known named narrators would rather book with the publishers than do it independently themselves. Because it's easier to track their time and hours for their SAG after a union commitments that they need to make. They get union pay then. And a lot of indie authors can't afford the union pay, so they lower their pays for when it's not through a publisher. The other problem is you have these new to romance explorers. That's what we'll call them. They're the Explorer Scouts. That will ask the stupid question of, well, if you have a male narrator and a female narrator, why aren't the male speaking the male parts and the female speaking the female parts? And what they want to know is, why is this every book not done in duet? Why are
Because
we
it's
doing it?
expensive as fuck to produce.
Which is the comment every time this conversation comes up, but it comes up at least once a damn month. I mean,
It
you're
does.
talking $8,000 for an audiobook in dual, and you're talking 12,000 for duet.
And not all readers like it. That's
No.
the thing. Not everybody. I mean, Becky does not like duet. I mean, she will listen to it begrudgingly, but she doesn't love it.
I did do the Katherine Cowles book that was it's multicast actually, because all the brothers that are casted for this series are do their own voicing in this
Well,
book.
and Piper Rain has done that for the last two series, I think they did. I know
Oh,
they
her
did it.
hockey and her baseball.
Well, they're hockey and baseball, but yeah, but there are like a couple authors, but you figure those are well-established authors who like it is a different ball game than like a newer author.
But even some of the more established authors, I mean, we've talked about the downturn in the economy and reading is a luxury, and I think we have to keep that in mind. And profits are down for everyone. Even our authors that are commercially successful, their royalties are going to be lower because people aren't buying as much.
And the market is flooded.
The market
The
is
market is very flooded.
it is so saturated, and you also have a situation where we saw the company that libraries used to buy their paperbacks and hardbacks through, they closed and went belly up. And so now libraries are having to buy through Ingram or straight through publishers, and it's not easy. It's created all sorts of headaches for our librarian friends. So, and that makes it harder to get books on the shelf. Okay. What do we want to talk about? Adaptation fever or trademarks?
Do adaptation fever.
Okay, we'll do adaptation fever. So, we've seen Off Campus has done successfully. I will say I don't feel it has the buzz Heated Rivalry had.
No, I mean, I think it does, but I think part of it is, I think part of it is there was so much discourse over the fact that you couldn't get the paperbacks when Heated Rivalry came out.
But no, I don't think that's it.
But
Heated
people are
Rivalry
talking about
released.
the books, like on like
Well,
because I
Heated
mean I'm
Rivalry, I
inundated.
think, jumped out of the romance genre. I think people who don't read romance watched Heated Rivalry. The other piece
Yeah,
to it
that's true.
is, it was one episode a week for 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
That's true. They did more serialize it than anything else, and I
And
think that
Heated
helped.
Rival or Off Campus was all of it at once.
Yeah.
On one date. So it was a binge read, so you didn't have the week to talk about what was coming next.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I feel like the it
And I
was.
think it stayed in its box. We're not hearing all the people I followed Darcy Michael, he and Jer on TikTok. They're comedians. And he watched Heated Rivalry and he was like, my mother reads these books. What am I into? And my mother loves romance, and I read these. And, they were talking about on the Today Show, and they were talking about it, here and there. And people that aren't in the romance landia were talking about Heated Rivalry.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there is a lot of buzz with Off Campus because I have been tracking it because I haven't watched it and I'm probably not going to watch it for a while because it's popular right now and we all know I don't like to do that. But I have been tracking it and there is buzz, there is a lot of exposure and but I think it just there's a different subset to it this time around where there's also like the where like there's very not
Oh, we're losing you, Leah,
In
over.
Eurasia.
I think that heated or I think that Off Campus is staying very clear in romance. You might
Yeah,
get
it
some of
didn't break containment
it
like Heated
didn't.
Rivalry did. Like Heated Rivalry brought in people outside off campuses. I think it's more people who have read the book or, are kind of like it's nothing like nobody that you didn't expect to watch it is watching it. You know what I mean?
Right. And I would say it's the same, it's funny. Breaking containment is a great way to put it, right? Because it's the same kind of thing with Magnolia and what's the River series that's over on Netflix that are off of a book?
Virgin River.
Virgin River. Those are based off books, and they also did not break containment. Because there's really nothing new about those. It's small
Yeah, I mean,
town.
there are similar series that exist.
Yeah.
Like it's a similar story, I guess.
So here's the question, though. We have more books coming to adaptation, and part of the reason for that is, and I think we talked about this when you and I did the TV rights episode,
Oh, yeah.
that because of the latest Writers Guild contract with Hollywood, there is less. They can go with a smaller writing room, so it costs
Yeah.
the studios less money if they use a book adaptation, which is part of the reason that we're seeing so much IP be picked up right now. So we're seeing all these books that are coming up that are going to get TV series potentially, Or movies.
Potentially.
What books of the ones we know that you can think off right in your head, do you think of one that might break containment?
I think if they have a romantasy series do really well, I think that might break containment, especially if there are dragons. If you're going to get people to think it's some kind of Game of Thrones thing, like I think it might break containment because the buzz has not been as big around House of Dragon as it was around Game of Thrones, and I
Very
think
true.
people are looking for something that's going to pull them back into that. And I think if they have a romantasy adaptation with dragons that's really well done, I think it will.
So, the other one I think that could potentially break containment is Beverly Jenkins,
Oh, yeah.
her series going to Hulu. I think that can break containment because it starts to fit into that period, kind of like Bridgerton. And see, Bridgerton didn't really break containment.
No, was not as successful as they hoped that it would be.
I mean, I guess it
Yeah.
did. Wait, well, because you had a lot of like merch come out for it and brand deals.
But I think it was like the initial, like the initial one, like the first season kind of did, but the other ones
It
have
didn't
not,
maintain.
it did not maintain. And I think a big part of it is because the loyal readers of Bridgerton were grumpy.
Is there one book that hasn't been picked up for film or TV that you would give anything to see come to film or TV?
No, because it almost always ruins it for me.
It does.
Same. I hate the
I would
new
much rather just
covers.
keep my books.
I think I would rather watch it. I mean, in some cases, I would rather just watch it and then maybe read the books after. I don't know. It's like I go back and forth with that, but if it's something I really love, probably just leave it
Like,
alone.
I think
Like,
savor it if like they kept it
oh yeah.
exactly like the book, like that would be fantastic because there's so much to it, but they would totally ruin it because they would change something and then I would be angry and then I would just be like, no.
Same.
So staying on that line of thought, the romanticity continues to rise.
It does.
Romanticity remains one of the hottest categories in publishing right now. Publishers continue to acquire fantasy romance at a rapid rate. So, what's next? Is romanticity the dominant trend right now? And what do we, if it's the dominant trend, what do we think comes next? Because there always is going to be a what's next. And
I don't think romanticism is going anywhere for a while. I think that people are really like invested in it and it's gonna keep trending.
I think because we're seeing it kind of happen a little bit on TikTok, people are going back and finding the old school early aught paranormals and the vampires. And now they're craving it in a more modern sense. And I honestly, so here's part of the problem. A lot of retailers got rid of paranormal categories in their stores and on their websites and have clocked everything under romanticy. And it's not. PNR and romanticy are not the same thing.
No, they are very, very different.
And neither is urban fantasy. I don't care what anybody says, it's very different.
Well, that was a dig at
Amanda has
me.
made me read enough of it that I can say I agree with that statement.
So, in the paranormal umbrella, I'm just giving it an umbrella. I'm sorry,
Yeah, no,
Amanda.
that's fine.
Paranormal romance revival. I think we're going to see more vampires, more shifters, more demons, more angels, urban fantasy romance, dystopian romances.
I do
Oh,
think
yeah.
dystopian
Dystopian.
is coming, like, is coming to a head.
I read Lindsay Montgomery's Decay in Love. And book two comes out later this fall, Romancing the Rot. And
Well, and Olivia Dade, like her just like
Zomcom.
vampire dystopian zombie
Zom rom com, yeah.
stuff, the zom rom-com world, that one's coming out with book two.
Yeah. And
So
then like Veronica Roth is doing the new like version of Divergent, which is I went to see her last
And
month, I
this
think.
new one she's doing is
Yeah.
more adults, right? And
The one
less.
that's out right now is adult, and it is so good, but it leans more like It leans more dystopian kind of fantasy. There's a little sci-fi. You're not getting like the romance in the first part of the book, but it is adult. And I think like she had confirmed like in the next book there will be more,
Adult.
romance. And it seems like, there might be more romance in the what is it, Sixth Faction is the new kind of swing she's going with Divergence. Like if something else had gone a different way, this is what would have happened.
Interesting. Oh, so it's almost like sliding door type thing.
So it's that's what she's doing for Divergent, but like I see like that coming back to a head. I mean, you and I have read the Ariel Sullivan books. Like those are very
Yeah,
good.
like very and well, and she has like oh, like she's I mean, there's
Three
two
different.
trilogies that are both started, but then she has another trilogy that she is working on. So it's gonna be three different sets, like in the same world.
And I think I read Beneath, you haven't, but that's the one that
No,
goes
because
back. And it's like even better than the other one. And I think she like it got on some list like this week. And I was like, yeah, I think
did she US?
dystopian, if
I know she
anything.
USA Today. Did she New York Times on it? I'm sure she
I
did.
think it was might have been like Amazon 100 or
Oh,
something
Amazon
best
released
books.
their best books of the year
I
so
think,
far. It
yeah.
did, yeah, because Kennedy posted that Score made it. Yeah, there's a couple of them that made it. So why PNR? Why I believe PNR could return. Now, I do have insider information a little bit because I do see the wish lists from editors wanting to know what they are looking for, kind of. And then I read Publishers Weekly, sometimes daily. Sometimes multiple times a day. And I do an analysis of what's been bought, what hasn't been bought, what one or two items might have been bought, but other publishers haven't bought yet, so that I can see where there is space, where there are holes, who may be over, maybe making over acquisitions. And I think PNR is one of those that we're hearing everybody whisper about. Like, what Well,
about
I think
shifters?
PNR is one of those ones that is never went away, but people have tried to make it go away. Because you have those authors that like that is what they write, it's all that they write, and they are very successful. But it's one of those ones where I think that people like have tried to make it go away, and people like authors are like, no, we are not doing that.
Well, and I think too, when they push for that, is they'll just take it and they'll put it in more of a fantasy setting. Like you see, like a lot of the popular fantasy settings, they'll have like vampire-like creatures. They'll have, they have fey creatures. They'll have like shifter-like creatures, the angels, the demons, all of it. So I think even when the push for like that, the standard gritty paranormal goes away, that those
The
types of
authors are
characters will show up
adapting,
somewhere
yeah,
else.
because they're like they still want to write those styles of characters, so they make it happen. Well, and I think readers love escapism, and I think more so now than 5 years ago.
I read more when the world is on fire. I read more books like this when the world is on fire. It's I can show you my reading history and like prove it. Like
I also
well, I
think
think it
there's an
gives.
easy jump from if you're a fantasy reader. So if you're reading Dungeon Crawler Carl, I think in a and you're consuming it and you want more, I think it's an easy jump to go into urban fantasy romance, or it's easy to go into a paranormal shifter, even a monster. It's a little bit more, I think paranormal is one Well,
of
because
those
you figure with
bridges.
Carl, like there's a talking cat. So it's like you're like going into that style of book is not such a big leap.
Yeah, and I think and the problem is with that is just as long as the expectation is there that people know that that's what they're doing. I think part of the problem with some paranormal and some urban fantasy that has been released more recently is that it's being shoved under that romanticy brand, and people who only read high fantasy are reading these and going, what is this?
Yeah,
Like,
because
this is
it's
not what I
they're
want.
structured very differently.
Yeah, and I think as long as people know that and they're shifting on their own from one world to a different one, that I think it's like you said, I think it's a very easy jump, but
But
if they
that's
don't,
you
then they
have
get
to
mad.
also but there has to be a temper of expectation. It's like you cannot go into like certain books thinking like this is going to be this. Well, and actually I came across I was doom scrolling earlier because anyway. But it was like when you start a book, do you start it at like thinking this is going to be 5 stars or do you start at 0 stars?
Like, are you going into it with the expectation this is going to be a
So
five-star book, or do
here,
you start at
this is an
zero
interesting
without any
conversation
expectation?
because I talked about it on a Substack, this over-troping and the lack of
Oh, good
discoverability that's
God.
happening right now in books.
I hate this
So
so
I
much.
honestly go into most books now, if I have seen them on socials, I
That
go
is
in
going to
with
be
zero
bad.
stars and you got to prove to me that this was worth my time. However, and I'll talk about it in my book of the week, I got a book rec from one of my favorite people at book club on Monday night,
Yeah.
and I read it. It was great, but I didn't know anything about it
So
other
you
than
went
it
in
was
blind.
mafia.
I think if it's new to me, I go in with zero. If it's someone that I read all the time, I probably go in at five.
Well, but
And
that's a different
then I deduce
expectation
it down.
too, though.
But that's, you know, that's how I think about it though. I mean, I think there's like if it's new to me, I go in with
I
zero.
mean, if it's new to me, I'm going in knowing I'm probably skipping around.
Unless it's come highly recommended. Like
Yeah.
you said, unless someone I know is like, "Oh,
And
you're gonna
trust,
love
know and
this." Yeah,
trust.
exactly.
Well, I think book recs, and we've kind of talked about this loosely, but I think book recs from readers hold more weight now than a
An
book rec from
influencer.
an influencer
I don't,
or a reel that shows the hook.
I can't follow. Like, I won't read a book an influencer tells me to.
No.
Well, you all have oppositional defiance disorder, so it's
I mean,
fine. We
well, I
t
mean, it's
but they're also not
history has
as,
proven that we
it
don't
has,
typically
yes.
like them.
Like,
So,
that's
you're
the
not
thing.
wrong.
It's not even just our oppositional defiance. It's the fact that, like, we believed these people when they said this book was really good, and 40 pages in, we're like, oh my God, like, how are these people functional? Like, humans, but they're
And we talked about it
characters.
last Sunday. This is part of why community
Is important.
matters.
Yeah.
And I talked about it in the Substack to authors also. You know, it's harder and harder to go viral now, right? Like it is the way the
Yeah.
algorithms have changed, it is nearly impossible. So you cannot market just on the hope that you'll get viral. You have to take and invest money and time into your readership, into readers. And giving away the whole book before it releases, you gave away 1,000 ARCs, and then all your advertisement gives me all the funny scenes, every
Yep.
chapter that's going to have sex in it,
Well,
and
that's the
you
thing.
already
Like, the new th
discovered the
that's that
characters.
drives me insane. Like, the spicy chapter thing, it's like, okay, why are you telling me that? Like, I read a book because I want to go into it and discover the
I mean,
stuff.
we used to do that with pop, like we would give a
But
percentage, but it wasn't.
that was a like that was one thing, and we never disclosed
Yeah.
like
How it
anything more than
happens
like when it
or
happened.
any of the lead up.
Like, we
Yeah, I
gave
mean, and I
no
still do it.
information besides a percentage of the book.
Yeah.
I mean, and honestly, like if it's not an author that I know, if it's not someone that has recommended it to me, like our group or someone that I personally know and that understands like what I like to read, you're gonna sell me with a blurb. I'm not gonna go look at a bunch of people's social media to see what they say. Like when publishers pitch us, I read the blurb, and
Yeah.
that's how I decide if I'm gonna read that book.
And I do
Well, but
think.
it also depends on how they pitch it too. Like, there are a couple where like they give us
Yeah,
authors that it's like
well,
similar
if I
to, and
mean,
those are hard no's right
yeah,
away.
I don't even,
No
yeah, I mean,
blurb
that's one
reading
thing.
necessary.
That's one thing. But generally, if it sounds interesting, like I'm gonna go look at the blurb, and
Yeah.
if it sounds good, I'm gonna read it.
Yeah.
And that's the key,
And
people. Blurbs are important.
I do wonder if part of why traditional publishing has more of a foothold on so many readers right now is because they're not marketing and advertising like the indies are.
No, they're not.
There's
This is true.
less giving everything away. And I say that, but then, you know, we look at Elsie Silver's release that she had in May. All the hubbub talking about that book was back in February. I saw very little about that book.
I saw a couple where it was not
Well,
kind.
when I went looking at reviews, I did see the lower reviews and some disappointment from readers. And actually, my local book club, that's the book in July, and I told them I have to wash my driveway that day. because I can't. And then she threatened if I don't come, they're going to do a Megan Quinn book next. And I said, then I'm going to have to power wash the brick. So yeah, sorry.
Like, I've read a full complete one recently. I don't need to do it again.
But there's less of the over-marketing on a traditional published book right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still marketing it. I just don't see the trope breakdowns constantly. Well, and
I don't mind a trope breakdown, but like, honestly, like,
Not two pages of it.
Give me like three tropes, because really, if a book has more than three tropes, there's too many tropes in it. You need to step back.
So we recently, our client Bill Keenan, he had The Swan and the Sentinel released, and they were like, okay, we really like eight for their graphics and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, eight? And they're like, yeah, you can do, like, you know, microtropes too. And I'm like, microtropes, I think, are so personal.
Very personal. Yeah.
You know, what I consider a microtrope is, for me, I would rather see them just ask me, like,
I don't think
what's the universal fantasy of this book?
Have like the same microtropes.
No, I mean, I have competence kink for sure.
Well, yeah,
but I don't get as excited about like forehead kisses or he feeds her. Mine is when he can't sleep. My favorite is
when he can't sleep with her.
He can't sleep without her.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Like, that's my favorite one.
Well, and honestly, like, I like an eyeball scooper, so.
Right. You like a guy that's willing to touch her and die. Yeah, and I don't love my wife. Like, my wife is fine, but it's not one
one of those ones that's, like, so overused now. Like, it's just, I think if people had let it be a natural thing and not force the issue, then it wouldn't bug me as much.
I also think kidnapping and stalking are a microtrope. Those show love. Those are love languages.
Are those not just regular? I mean, I guess it's not a regular trope, but
it's really not. But a lot of people are classifying it as.
I mean, I like a good kidnapping.
I mean, I don't mind, like, you know, like you said, like maybe three main. I don't even mind like maybe three micro. Like, I don't mind like a small amount, but like, don't give me everything that happens in the book.
Well, and Lindsay, that's one of her big things. Like, there's a couple authors where, like, they put everything out there, and she's like, I don't need to read the book. I know exactly what happens.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there needs to be some like discoverability happening here.
That's the thing. Like, I read so I can read the story. Like, I don't want you telling me what it is.
But I think that those readers in 2020, that's what hooked them. Those new readers, those Explorer Scouts, what hooked them in was discovering these stories. And that's what made them fall in love with books and reading. And
which is fine. They've but taken you have to that. Continue to discover the story and not have people tell us about it.
You know, and there's not anything wrong with that. And I think maybe it comes down to like a social media difference. Because I will take a wreck off Threads, as messy as Threads is. I will take a one or two sentence wreck off of Threads before I will take one off of a massive trope graphic on Instagram. Like, I don't even look at Instagram for like book recs. Like, I will, if I'm
honestly, the reels with the reels with the stupid quotes get me every time. Now, I will say I will say I borrow the book and then I find that quote and then read it from there a lot of times. Yeah. But I'm a weirdo like that. So
I will do that. Like, I will do it based on a quote, but like, I can get that off of like just a typed out.
Yeah. And I've trained my algorithm on TikTok. It gives me, right now I'm stuck on Red Panda TikTok, Dungeon Crawler Carl TikTok.
I want to be on Red Panda TikTok.
And Great Pyrenees TikTok. That's where I'm
stuck. Oh, I was stuck in Great Pyrenees TikTok last week.
Yeah. I love them. I have two of them. That's why I love them. Someone over there on TikTok referred to them as 130-pound toddlers.
Nice.
They really are 130-pound toddlers or 150, whatever.
I was going to say, Ollie is not 130 pounds.
He's a baby. He is a baby.
No, Stanley is a baby.
They're Ollie both babies. They're just little guys.
They're not little guys. I think Ollie weighs more than I do.
Ollie's only like 150-ish. He's not over 150. He just looks beefy.
He is beefy.
He is a beefy boy, but he's adorable. He's just a sweet little squishy baboo. He's fine. Listen, my children told me I couldn't hang out with them anymore. I have to put all my motherly love into the dogs now.
When you scream at them at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, today, because Stanley like ran through, he ate a cup holder, like a drink carrier, and tore it up on the deck. And what did he? He stole something out of the trash this morning, and I have to chase him. Leah gets
Oh,
to
Stan.
experience.
I
I'm
do
like,
almost every
fucking
morning.
Stanley, but I
He
love
was,
him.
they were very barky this morning.
He was laying down in the corner of the yard by the gate, like laying down, just
Yeah, did you
randomly
ever figure
barking.
out what was going on that day?
He was doing it today too.
There ha is there something over there?
I don't know. He's wild. It's fine. Okay, is there anything else happening in the book world that you think we should talk about before we move on to the next thing?
I don't think so. I mean,
No.
there are things that we could talk about, but I don't think it's
Well, and
necessary.
you know, one of the things that we are seeing so much of, if an author releases too much, is it AI? We're seeing
Oh, yeah.
clumps of AI books getting dropped. That
Like, if
probably
there's too
could,
many M dashes, it's AI.
and that could be a whole nother conversation. Oh, there was some stuff happening with similar titles and books about storms and books feeling similar. Again, it was
Welcome
Explorer
to
Scouts.
romance, people.
It was the Explorer
Welcome to
Scouts.
romance.
Fiction. Like,
Speaking of Explorer Scouts, did you see the friend groups that are like went and bought Girl Scout patches? And for
no.
their summer together, they're doing girls, like you earn a Girl Scout patch for their girl summer together.
Are they part of the influencer group that has a Discord who are like trying to be mean to other influencers?
No.
I saw a thing about it. So supposedly there is a group of influencers who have a Discord and they're popular influencers. Now, I do not know if this is true or not, but in my doom scroll today, I came across it. But yeah, so apparently there's a group of popular influencers who have a Discord who are basically built to attack smaller influencers
No,
because they
these were
don't
just.
agree with like what they're saying about the books. Also, the dogs just like broke into my room.
No, this is just about. This is just like a girl. I've seen three different friend groups.
Do not make my
They
face.
bought. They went on Girl Scouts website and bought
They
patches
bought
for their friend
patches.
group, and then
You can
created.
just buy Girl Scout
Yeah,
patches?
you can just
Yes,
buy
there's a
them.
store
I didn't
for
know
that.
this. It's a
Yeah.
website. Yeah. And so they bought Girl Scout badges for their girl summer. And you do certain things, like drag brunch was like the breakfast patch or something. Or like you could get your
That's
camping
cute.
patch if you went on their weekend getaway and stuff. And I actually went looking to see what reading styled ones they have because I thought,
That could
that
be
would be
fun. If I was
fun.
social, that could be fun, but we
Right.
know I'm not.
Now, is
So,
there a
but.
place where we could make patches,
Oh,
get patches made?
sure.
Because
Same
that would be fun.
as those companies that like make pens and make stickers and
Oh,
stuff.
yeah.
Some of
We
them
could
and
make our
buttons.
own
We
patches.
could, but they're pricey.
Oh.
Okay, so guess
Well,
what,
thanks for
guys?
ruining my thunder.
You're welcome. Guess what time it is?
It's that time.
It's that
It's that
time
time.
for
For
Book of
book
the
of
Week. Book of the
Ew,
Week, and
confused.
everyone did but me did jazz hands. Woohoo! Amanda, what's your book of the week?
Okay, so it's funny because we were talking about like marriage in crisis after things happen to
Oh,
an
I love
established
a marriage
couple.
in crisis.
This is it's Love Wells Kept by Bailey Hanna. It's the last book in her Wells Ranch series. It's out on July 7th. It's about Kate and Jackson. Jackson is one of the Wells siblings. They have been married since the series started. So they were already married. They have kids. They've been, a staple throughout the series. In this book, Jackson gets into an accident and has a traumatic brain injury.
Oh.
He loses his memory. And she does this very accurately. So, like, I won't say like how she does it accurately, but she has an author's note. Her mom had a traumatic brain injury. So she researched this very well. It hits really hard. Like I honestly thought I was gonna have to put it down. Like
Oh.
it is heartbreaking. Like I was, well, it was rough. But I'm glad I powered through it because them coming back to each other and like him realizing like his feelings for her, like even when he doesn't remember her, it's very like it hits you just like right in the gut. So I was happy that I was able to finish it, and it's my favorite book in the series. So, and I think you can actually like I think this actually reads as a standalone very well because they're established already, and this kind of happens as like a separate story. You don't need to know the siblings. I think it hits harder if you read it in order, but I think if you were to just pick it up that you could.
You could.
So.
Leah, what's your book of the week?
Okay, so my book of the week is by Ali Samberts. I'm interviewing her on Friday, actually. It's called Not a Strong Enough Word. So it's the story of Scarlett and Ryan. Scarlett is an author. I'm not sure what kind of author because they don't really talk about like the specific style of writing she does. Like maybe she did, because I'm not done with it yet. So maybe by the end, like it. Or maybe I missed it. Anything's possible with my brain right now. But anyway, so Scarlett is an author. About 5 years ago, she had like a nervous breakdown because of like things that had happened. And I don't, there is a lot of loss and struggle in the focus on depression and treatment and how one event can be such a small, like it was a big event, but it was a catalyst to like changed so much and caused so much damage to Scarlett. And like 5 years later, she's still learning how to deal with it and learning how to heal. And so she basically disappeared for 5 years. And so she is coming back and like she is writing again. And the story is the journey of like her like getting signed again and publishing this new book. And Ryan is her ex, but he's also her editor. And so it's like she never expected to see him again, or like not on her terms, and like dealing with the seeing him and the emotion that is connected with seeing him and all those things. It's just it's a fairly heavy, and for me it's a little heavier, and if you know me like saying that, like you can understand where the heavy comes from. But I really am enjoying it. Like it's very therapy pro, like healing is not easy. It takes a long time. Like grief is not easy. It is ever changing and it never goes away type of thing. It was a lot more than I anticipated going into it.
Okay. It
What
got
about
you in your
you?
feels. That's always good.
I'm
What
in
are you
hot
doing, all
mess.
of you doing, like reading like these super feely books? And I'm over here
Well,
like.
honestly, like not to be like honestly, if I didn't have the interview on Friday, like I wouldn't be finishing this because with this hot mess as I am mentally right now this week with everything that I found out on Monday, like I don't think I could have like I would not be reading this if I didn't
Normally.
have to.
Yeah, that's fair. So mine was a rec that came to me from one of my local book club members. Shattered Crown by Eden Lux, Lux is the last name. Mafia. I really enjoyed this. It's Ariane and Sebastian's enemies to lover dynamic. The banter was top tier. And their early scenes together. They're kind of funny because they're just like the banter was just top tier banter. There's like because it's enemies to lover, there's lots of years of like damage and stories and things and but it's not their miscommunication.
It's like
Oh, okay.
miscommunication
Yeah.
around them.
Yeah. So it's just super rich story.
So, but those miscommunications cause the enemy side of it.
Yes,
Okay.
yes. I don't want to
Gosh.
give too much away.
Yeah.
I just wanted some clarity. Jen Allen will probably like that one.
I think so too. There's a brother named Xavier in the next book that I'm gonna have to need now. Like I'm gonna go read it. They're all out,
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, do we have
because
to wait?
he's kind of douchey and he needs to be like taken down a
Oh, I
peg,
like that.
and I need him to have a lady that's gonna do that. So, these characters felt kind of real, actually, for
Yeah.
Mafia. I was like,
Nice.
okay. But really well done, and I really enjoyed it. So, and it was an author I'd never heard of before.
I've never heard of her
This
either.
is also my book club friend that like messaged me. She's like, have you read this book? And it's because I introduced her to Chuck Tingle.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's like reading monsters, and she and I are gonna,
Did you
but
tell her to read Squeak?
yes, well, we talked about Omegaverse and like she needed to understand it, and we did. And, but no, we're gonna read, Matthew Wardell's new Minotaur book that he has out,
Oh, yeah.
Gay
Oh,
Gay
nice.
Minotaurs. And then actually, I think first though, we're gonna do Max Walker's Wolf Shifter Hockey Romance.
Oh, I'm
I
yeah,
haven't
I want
read
to read
that, but
that one
I
too.
mean, I love
So
Max and adore
I love
Max, so.
Max, and the guy that always does his audiobooks does those audiobooks. I can't think of his name,
Nice.
and his audio is always exceptional. So yeah, I'm excited to check that out. Okay, so real quick, for the summer schedule, we'll be dropping at least one episode a week. I don't know where that episode will be. It could be a Wednesday, it could be a Friday, it could be a Saturday, it could be a Sunday, but there will be at least one new episode a week into your feeds.
And we don't know what that episode will look like each week
No,
either.
we'll probably have a lot of author spotlights that Leah's been doing and stuff, but we won't have any live episodes back until August. So we'll be off the YouTube for couple weeks. And then Summer Reading Challenge is still ongoing. I have bought some really cute fun stickers. You are going to want to participate so that you can get a sticker pack. And then for now, you can still support us on Patreon. I'm not sure what we're doing there exactly. We did have a book club like last week. We talked about Across the Vanishing Sky by Katherine Cowles together. So just you can join us on Patreon, but really sign up for our newsletter. That's going to give you the most up-to-date information of what we've got going on. So I hope everyone enjoys their summer and has all the best reads. Make sure you're active over in our Discord so you can tell me what you're reading, because I'm looking forward to a little low-key summer here and getting to read all the books I want to read.
Yeah, I
So
think we all need low-key summer.
I think we all do. So until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.